Okay.
So, okay, so this is what we're going to do. Again, it's a little bit tricky here. So now we're in the Bava Kamma parts, and we're going to remain in the Bava Kamma parts for quite some time. You know, with a few, side trips, I guess, a little bit of, journeying, as we always do in the context of studying the Havayas to Havaya Varava. But, so our task, again, this is very spread out, as you can tell, and it's very logistically difficult to figure out how to do this. So we're going to try to do a combination of, discussing the topics in a wider way and, in a topical way, but also, moving into the topic. So, but that sometimes requires that we kind of do chunks at a time, which is why, how many people have gone through the Shakvatarya, or at least through Vav Mibes? Not so many. Through Gimel Mibes? Okay, more people. So I'm just trying to figure out how much I should give specifically to. So what we're going to try to do, just let me explain, although we kind of already have, what we're doing, what we're looking for, etc. So we'll know what to be on the what to be sensitive to. We're trying to get a bigger picture, and we're also trying to fill in, the details of how specific Rishonim and Farshim understand them, because those are the building blocks, obviously, to understand, this bigger picture. So in terms of the priority, I'm not going to give so many Marmakomas, because I want to first identify, the fault lines within this little section, at least. What it is that we should be looking for, and then, we'll be, adding throughout the year as we examine these sugyas more. So for now, I told you to definitely do base to Gimel Amud base. Gemara Rashi tells us as much as you can, the Rambams. Let's just start with that, and, I gave you already the more specific question of hybrids, which we'll talk about hopefully today. But I would continue Gimel Amud base through Dalet Amud base at least, till the again, I'm probably going to reference some of these even today, but till the two dots on Dalet Amud Beis, till Tani Rav Oshia, Yud Gimel Avos Nezikin. Then, if you want, again, we're going to do this also, but it's really good to have it kind of an awareness of it. But if you're in time pressure, you could skip Dalet Amud Beis and then just pick up on Hey Umad Aleph, starting from Lohare Ashar Kare Amave. In other words, skip the lists of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Oshio, which we'll come back to. Those are expanded lists of Avos Nezikin. They also reflect the basic core of Avos Nezikin, because in explaining why we don't have expansive lists or as expansive lists as the case may be, so the Gemara is forced to kind of formulate, what is unique about Arba Avos Nezikin. And those formulations are important to us, right? They're, Diske Mamo, Narama Mazik, Hezeka de Mimela, so we're going to get back. That's very important to know. But if you're in a little more time pressure, we're not going to go into the details of those, because that gets you pretty far afield, although we're definitely going to do it, but we'll do it afterwards. Hazama, and, Pigul, and, Hezek Shen and Nikar, and all sorts of really good things. But we'll do that, when we get to it. So for now, just after that, go to Lohare Ashor, just to get the bigger picture and the fault lines and so on, starting from Hey Omid Aleph, and then continuing again in the Shakvatarya until you get to Vav Omid Beis, until the Meitav part, which is basically Vav Omid Beis. So, again, the two dots, of Kishi Hizik Kav HaMazik, or just those few lines actually are just two, three more lines. Just till the Shalim Tashlimi Nezek, okay, which is where the Gemara picks up on the question of Meitav and Benedizek Shamin and Benmazek Shamin. Also, very important things which we're going to get to. But so, in other words, do Beis Amid Beis to Dalet Amid Beis, and then do Hey Amid Aleph to Vav Amid Beis, at least the Shalim Vataria, and as much impressions as you can pick up. And then in doing that, we're going to first just do a little survey. And then zero in on the details to see what they provide for us. So what we're really trying to do in the bigger picture, okay, and once we just have gone very quickly through that Shakvatarya, Already starting on base of base, definitely the Rashi, Tosas, Dibra Maskal, and the Rajma Aval. We've made quick reference to them, but we're going to discuss them more. Ababa Mukhberes, Ema Kula Muedesi, and also the Tosra Ben Peretz there, and the Rajma Dibra Maskal, Neshicha, just in terms of base of base. We'll probably add a few things. But so again, I want to try to do this, and it's a little bit, I say, not awkward, but challenging to do it. You know, is to keep like the bigger picture, and also, you know, to start developing, you know, the details and see what they provide for us. But yeah, I mean, there are different ways you could do this. It's not, there's not only one way. Of course, what we're really interested in the bigger picture for the moment, is, you know, to continue the notion of multiple ovos or paradigms, but to apply them very specifically to Nezikin. So I'm just going to tell you, if it isn't already clear, you know, what the, some of the questions that we're looking for are. When you have multiple mechayvim, and that's why the Gemara's framework is so, you know, perfect in a way. That's the first lines of the Gemara that we've already read. Is, you know, miliktani avos mechaldi katoldos to the same kiyotzim amalav kiyotzim. So again, you know, in all these Gemaras, basically, you could read these Gemaras very, very broadly, and you could read these Gemaras very, very narrowly. Right, and that you could say all the Gemara wants to know is, you know, Lamaisa, you know, the Dayanim need to know, you know, what to do in certain cases. So you have Avos, the implications are Toldos, and we want to know, you know, whether there are any Nafkaminas or not. You know, next, right? What's the next issue, right? Obviously, and of course, we are interested in that, whether we're going to be professional Dayanim or not. You know, we're interested in that because that's, we need to know what the halachos are. The other way to look at this is that the Gemara is setting up like this magnificent, you know, exercise for us to really understand better, you know, the world of Nezikin. So what it's saying is, listen, you know, whenever you have a concept, and this is what we just have been doing for the last 3 weeks or whatever it is, whenever you have a concept, right, which has multiple, you know, subcategories, right? So there is this important question to ask, and that is, what is the significance, you know, of the fact that this is not a single, you know, idea, you know, with a bunch of hechetimtzis or applications? Or that's really the question. Is it that or not? Whenever we have multiple categories within one large realm, right? What is the Torah telling us? Is the Torah telling us that there are different mechaibim, or different yisumim, different applications, right? Or different significant subcategories, you know, that have a certain stature and therefore impact on their own. So again, you know, toldosem kiyotze bahem, midiktani avos mechaldi katoldos toldosem kiyotze bahem olav, and then saying gabe Shabbos toldosem kiyotze bahem gabe tuma. Ain't told the same kiyotze behen gaba nizikin. You know, the question is kiyotze or lav kiyotze behen. Instead of looking at it just narrowly, like, oh, we have an example like this, we have an example like this, and now we need to know what the dinim are here. But the other way to look at it is like we were talking about, you know, avos nizikin and avos atoma, and toldos on Shabbos and toldos atoma. And that is the bigger question is when you have 39 avos malacha, why is there just one broad idea of losasiko malacha? And the rest is details, right? Or are we talking about like practically 39 different isurim, you know, that share something or something, you know, in between those things, right? The different maisaveros, one shem isur, different shem osisur, but also isur klali, etc. And hu adin legabe tuma, right? All tuma, the sources of tuma are different, but when you have tuma, you treat it all the same. The rules of tuma and the dynamic or mechanic, whatever you want to call it, of tuma are the same. Right, it's a little bit different. It's Bahadragat, Ishtal Shalut of some sort, probably. Or no. Right? Every, you know, the tumos share something in common, like the phenomenology of, you know, how you contract it and how you spread it and, you know, how you contain it, you know, share a lot in common. But like, you know, Lohare Sheretz, Kare Tumas Meis, you know, Kare Zav, you know, and so on. And are they, you know, closer to each other than you think, or actually more distant, you know, and just, you know, a looser connection than you think. And part of that question also is how you look at toldos, because the toldos, which seems to share in the, you know, more fundamental characteristics, right, still are different in terms of the tzura, and so on and so forth. And in all these cases, it's relevant to ask the question then, you know, are they different shemos and mechayvim, or are they different applications? It's also relevant to ask the question, you know, is there like a generic additional idea, you know, beyond like the differentiation, you know, of the pratim. So like in Shabbos, like we said, you know, maybe as expressed by Yom Tov, maybe as expressed by Makom Pat, whatever it is, maybe there are two dinim on Shabbos itself, right? There's an Isra Malach of Shabbos, and then there's Zoreya. You know, Zoreya is both Zoreya, and it's a part of the, you know, Klali Isra Malach of Shabbos. But who are dealing with Tumah, right? Tumah, you know, Shechva Zera is different than Sheretz and the Vela, you know, but they also have a certain common denominator of Tumah. Okay, so we're not supposed to speak about them anymore because, you know, we talked about them a lot. So I'm just using them as, you know, examples. So now let's get to Nezikin. So we have the same kind of question, and that is the Torah in Mishpatim definitely spells out different, you know, types of Nezikin. And the question again is the Torah's filling in details and spending time and ink, you know, in order to tell us, you know, what the rules are, but it's all kind of one big, you know, homogenized, generic, general, you know, concept of Hezek. And the details are all either Gzeres HaKasuvs or compensations. You have a little more this here, so therefore you need a little more of that there, you know, and so on and so forth. I'm just obviously simplifying, but that's what we're talking about. Right? Or the opposite perspective, which is, you know, you may call them Avos Hazikin. It's convenient to talk about that rubric, right? But really, you know, Lo Harei Hashem, Karei Hamaveh, Karei Hapar, Karei Adam HaMazik, you know, Karei, and so on and so forth. That's really what looks like Heketimtzis, and maybe a little bit of overcompensation, or a little bit of mysterious, you know, Gzeres HaKasuvs, is really different concepts of Hazikin. And of course, in between those, you know, there are several things that you can say, and that is there's a common denominator, you know, but there are also nuances that differentiate them as well. It's one consideration. So there are two dinim, basically. And also, you know, even in discussing how different they are from each other, right, we don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be b'chad amachta. You don't have to say, you know, they're either all polar different, you know, from each other, or they're all just, you know, barely, you know, practically the same. We might say that, you know, some are closer to others, and some are quite different. So to say, for example, that Adam HaMazik is quite different than this Kemamon, as we've already seen, is a very reasonable, instinctively, and also in terms of evidence, you know, it's a reasonable idea. To say that Bor, right, is quite different from the others, just from reading the Mishnah, right, seems like a very reasonable, you know, idea. Again, we might, upon, you know, reflection, upon investigation, immersion into the details, decide that those reasonable ideas are totally wrong. And maybe the things that seemed like they were the most, you know, similar and only very, very subtly different may emerge, you know, as more different. Well, that's the adventure. Right, we're reconstructing. We're all, you know, trying to figure out what is this structure all about. But certainly, we can appreciate that just because Bor might be very different than the others doesn't necessarily mean that Shane and Regal are different from each other in such a significant way. Just because Karen Tam, you know, has very different dinim, you know, in terms of the Migufo and in terms of the difference between Tam and Muad, right? Again, on the surface, that looks like, and especially if you say Paul Ganiska Knossa, so that looks like a huge, you know, outlier, you know, hugely, you know, singular, you know, but maybe, you know, maybe it's all compensatable, you know, maybe it's all just about Shmira or Regilus or, you know, that's what I'm saying it the way I'm saying it, you know, with my voice a little lower. It might disappoint us, is what I'm trying to say. or maybe enthuse you, depending on your orientation. But these are the things that we are looking for. That's what we are. Now, the way to look for that, now, what's complicated in looking for it is the fact that a lot of the factors involved, right, themselves are pretty subtle and pretty overlapping. I'll explain what I mean in a second before I take Isaac's question. Yeah. After I take Isaac's question. Yeah.
What?
No, I said before, I said after. Yeah.
Does this second question of how similar the Kabbalists and Deacon are relate to that first question of how much we look at the head and Deacon like one general pipe?
I think so. I mean, the more you look at the Deacon and, you know, in terms of as one, the more, the easier it is to look at the differences between, you know, the different cases or the different categories, you know, as being, you know, exerts a kosov, compensation, but it doesn't really change, I'll explain what I mean by that in just a second as well, but it doesn't really change the picture, let's say, in a much broader way, is what I'm trying to say. Whereas if you accentuate those differences, you know, and again, it's very similar to what we said about, that's why the paradigms are important, about Shabbos, about Avodah Zarah, about Shviyas, about, you know, Tumah V'Tahara, right? Moshe's, you know, very good, Rav Haigon, and, you know, with the Taharos, you know, with the number issue. But, meaning, it's very similar to that question. So, even Toldo same Kiyotsu, as we noted, you can always say that the relationship, the interrelationship between Avos is one question, and the relationship between Avos and Toldos is another question. And yet, there's simply, there's like a natural overlap in those questions, and then you can finally decide, yes, but, so here, too, I think that those issues are connected.
But you can make a general enough Machayev from the Zikin,
yeah,
that will include every case of the Zikin, and still think that the Avos and Zikin are very different from each other.
If you say they're two dinim.
Okay,
yeah, that's what I mean by Tudina. In other words, there may be like a generic concept of Nezikin, which they all share in common, and which works and is effective for certain things, right? And in addition to that, there may be more specific, a more specific character to each or some of the Avos Nezikin as well. That's not a stira. That might be Novam. I'm going to read some of the evidence inside, just the, what I call the fault lines. In other words, the, I just made it up, my term. But, you know, lines or issues, you know, that, you know, potentially, you know, trigger this kind of thinking. Right? Does it just start with the Mishnah? I mean, I don't know. Namely, you have Arba Avos HaZikin, Asher Abar Amaba Vehever. Right? Even the small little things, like, you know, the questions in the you know, some of the Rishonim about the language, which we already talked about. Why say Nezikin instead of Mazikin? Right? Could be nothing. Most of them say it's nothing. You know, Nezikin or Mazik, Hain, you know, or not Hain. Okay, that don't mean those as fault line. Those are just much smaller. But the bigger ones are that, you know, Lo Arei Ashor Karei Amava, Lo Arei Amava Karei Ashor, Lo Zev Ezeh Sheishem Ruachayim Karei Ha'esh, Sheim Ruachayim, Lo Zev Ezeh Shadark Leilach Al-Hazik Karei Ambar, Sheim Dark Leilach Al-Hazik, and then you conclude, Hatzada Shava Shabahen, Shadark Al-Hazik, Shmurasan Alecha, Oka Shehizik, Chava Mazik, Lishanta Shemenezik, Mei Tavarets. Right, so, again, you can read the Mishnah, it's filled with a bunch of facts, like any other Mishnah. You know, and of course, we need to understand it and the implications, and the Gemara will help us, you know, flesh it out and the Mepharshim and so on. I'm just saying that one way to read the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is confronting us exactly with this problem. Because this Mishnah starts by saying to us, you know, each of these Avos and Zikin, in some respects, is necessary and independent. Right? Lo Reze, Lo Reze, Lo Reze. Again, at least, you know, the third and the fourth, you know, the Aish and the Bor, you know, the low rays get, you know, they get identified, you know, Ruach Chaim, you know, Darko Leilach Lahazik, fine. First ones are even, like, you know, more ambiguous than that, partly because, well, I didn't say that's the reason, but that's why there's more ambiguity what they are, even, right? So, I think you can read that line in two ways. One is, you know, the Nezikim, of course, are all the same. You know, the question then is, why do we need them all? You know, they're really kind of, you know, one big, you know, homogenized, you know, concept. The answer is because, you know, if we didn't have the Giluyim, You know, we wouldn't have known the expansiveness of that concept or the application of that concept. But then at the end of the day, you should know, Atzad HaShavah Shebahen, you know, which is the real Mechayiv, you know, this is what it is. And that's what they are too. Or is it the opposite? Is it that the Mishnah is saying there are four Mechayivim, you know, and there are four Psukim, there are four, you know, completely different, you know, perspectives. But the Mishnah also wants you to know, you know, that on for some, you know, reason, that the Gemara is going to challenge what that reason is. What do you need to say for the Mishnah? We're talking about different Mechayivim. So it's either to be Marbe, you know, some cases, you know, maybe hybrids, right? That's what the Gemara is going to get to later on. Oh, and then how you deal with the whole hybrid problem, right? Is that a technicality or is that like a fault line of this exact, you know, it's a litmus test for this issue, right? So that, is it that or is it that, you know, there are two dinim. Every mazik has two dinim. It has the specific character and it has the generic. And then it's an interesting question to ask, what happens when these two are not exactly in conflict, l'kula, are not exactly in harmony, l'kula and l'chumra? Right? Do we take the chumras of the Tzad HaShavah and of the specific? Do we take the kulas of that? Right? So just reading the Mishnah, and then when the Gemara says, kiyotza ben malav kiyotza ben, and especially it lines up, let's say, you know, avos of Shabbos are more similar to each other relative to taros. And the taros are less similar to each other. And that maybe that's the reason why the toldos are more kiyotze in Shabbos and less kiyotze in taros, assuming that. Right? So now the question is, what's the story with Nezikin? Not just technically because our nafka bina. Also that. But in the bigger picture, you know, what is going on in this case? So that's really what. Now, what makes it particularly difficult to pin all this down, you know, almost sometimes in a maddening, you know, frustrating kind of a way, but mostly, you know, adds to its being exhilarating and challenging, is the fact that some of the factors, as I say, are subtle and overlapping, right? And we've identified some of them, you know, Shmira, right? Bilus. Assessing, you know, the Maisa Hezek. So, you know, those are all interesting. Again, the Shmira is about the Ptur or about the Mechayim, the 2 days in Rashi on Tesamid Beis, right? V'lo yishmerenu be'alav. That's Nai l'Ptur, alav, right? What exactly is it? People point out to me, they said, I thought we had said it when I talked about Reb Chaim and the Rach, but I think Joey mentioned to me, or maybe somebody else, or Josh also maybe. The Gemara Mem Heyom and Beis also seems to use the language of Ishmael or Ba'alav as a lav, right? The Rach understands it more as an Azhara, right? But my point is, the factor of Shmira itself can play, in theory, different roles, right? We've already identified a little bit. So one is, the most, let's say, peripheral, is that it's a p'tur onus. You couldn't do more, lo yishmeru ba'alav, or shmirasan alecha, means that, you know, you have a p'tur. That doesn't tell you much about why you're chayiv when you're chayiv, right? Now, that p'tur onus, which applies to avos hazikin, maybe with the exception, and we still need, of, let's say, Adam Mu'ad Li'olam of Adam HaMazik, which would also be very telling, right, is like the minimum aspect of the Shmiras on Alecha. But the Shmiras on Alecha, right, could also be, you know, part of the Mechayim. And that, too, in more than one way, right? Again, if you take the first day of Rashi and Tesamid Beis, right, Kol Shechavti, what is it, B'Shmiraso, Hichsharti Es Nizko. So it sounds like we're saying not just Ptur Tashlumin, right? But we're saying, you know, that the Mechayiv is Choser Shmira. But Mechayiv of Choser Shmira itself, you know, also could be interpreted in two ways. One is the way that, you know, in the paradigm of the Rambam of Poshea Kemazik, but that's a Dinin of Choskiros for a Shomer Chinam, namely, where what we're really saying is that Choser Shmira, which is a Sheva Al Taseh, objectively, right, legally becomes a kind of kuv va'aseh. So then the choser shmira is the mechayev. It's the act of hezek, or it's equivalent of the act of hezek, or no, it's still a sheval tase. Maybe it's a mitzaref to the ma'isa hezek, right? But the ma'isa hezek isn't the choser shmira. The choser shmira is what makes you a partner in the real ma'isa hezek of the behema. Right? So that's a very subtle difference. Okay. Oh, I'm just trying to prove with this. I mean, we're going to need all these things later on. So when we talk about the role of shmira, right, you know, we're a bit of a... It's so different if we think choser shmira, you know, is the mechayev, and even the two types of ways of looking at it, as opposed to if we think that it's just a patur. Now, at the end of the day, shmira plays a role in all of the nezikin, maybe with the exception of Adam, but we'll get to that. Right? So, but isn't it also possible that the role that Shmira plays in the different Nezikin is different? Namely, that for some, or in all cases, it constitutes a Pturonus. But maybe the character of some Avos Nezikin makes Choser Shmira more likely to be a Mechayev, and maybe even, you know, the Mechayev, or the Mitzarev to the Ma'isa Hezek, as opposed to others, right? That's an example. The same thing is true with some of the other factors, right? Bilus, right? Bilus is significant because, you know, again, in the most extreme active way, you know, your animal did this or you know, first of all, we have to find out whether bilus means bilus or bilus, you know, means, you know, very strong... Siruf. Okay, that's number one. Okay, well, this is what we're going to be discussing all year. So, but it's important, I think, to think about it. And a lot of the thinking that I've done about it, obviously, is also a result of having encountered, you know, the Gemaras and some of the Lashonos, and I'm sitting back and thinking about it in a broader way. It's always a combination of, you know, we'll call it the a priori, you know, thinking about it, and the de facto, post facto, you know, having encountered things and your perspective having been broadened. But let's say bilus, the factor of bilus, right? So the factor of bilus, we know this from Kol HaTorah Kula, and we know it even from the world of Nezikin, is a tricky factor. You know, sometimes bilus doesn't mean bilus. In the Rishonim here, and in the Nisuchim of the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, right, do you really need bilus, mamoncha, or not? Right? Again, the easiest way to highlight this is, of course, bor. Right? Shnei dvarim enim b'shusa shaladam v'asana kasav kilu b'shusa. Chametz pesach bor b'shusa rabim. Right? That's a way of saying, we already had it a little bit with the Rajba, right? On Einon shim ben adin and beis ha-beis. Right? What is the role of bilus and bor? Are we saying that, you know, every mazik needs bilus, right? Just in bor, you know, bilus is expressed, you know, by yitzira, konei shamayim va'aretz, right? He's a bilum in some respect. Or are we saying, just like we find another dinim, so again, chametz pesach, right? Isurei anah, this is a grand debate about whether this is real bilus or not, isurei anah shalom or not. You know, you can, in the Rishonim, it's most explicit in the Raivid and the Ritva in Sukkah, Ulam HaGazel, Daf Lamed, Lamed Hey, but then it's a whole massive literature, right? So Chametz Pesach, again, I don't want to talk about Chametz Pesach now, but when we say Ilu Breshusa, we mean you're a Bailim Lagabi Bal Yorobai Matzeh, or the point is that you don't need to be a Bailim. Okay? And when we're comparing it to Bor Breshusa Rabim. Bor Breshusa Rabim. So, you know, either one way to look at it is, there's no bilus, but there is kind of bilus, lagabe zeh. Or, dafka, bor, if there's bilus, it's not bor. That's the whole Rav and Shmuel, which we're going to keep encountering, and we're going to discuss it much more fully. Right? Or something in between, and that is, and which are not mutually exclusive. Bor, you know, you don't need bilus, it isn't considered bilus, but it is mitzuraf to you, because you're the one who created this thing. right? If bor is really about yitziras hatakala, not about the hezek, so maybe the lack of bilus, you know, is part of its positive character, not despite the fact, but it's part of its hagdara. Now, we're going to discuss all this. I want to just exemplify, you know, why these, you know, what these factors are and how they might play out. So is it possible that in, let's say, shor, bilus is a critical factor, and in bor, dafka not being the bilum is the factor, or bilus is a non-factor or a more flexible factor? Sure. And what about esh? If esho is mishum chitzo, or esho mishum mamono, what do we even mean by mamono? Right? So how much bilus you need, you know, whether you're mechalik between different, that becomes a critical issue. And what role does bilus play anyway? Is bilus just a role of the bank account? My shor, my problem? Right? Or bilus needs to be more than that. Or bilus is, you know, his action is maybe in combination with my obligation and you know, failure to live up to that obligation of choser shmira. So if I'm the bilim and I was obligated and I didn't, so it's not just a bank account. The shor did the action and I have to pay for him because I'm his bank account in these matters? Or that makes me, you know, like the mitzuraf to the ma'isa hezek. I didn't do the ma'isa hezek, but I'm mitzuraf to the ma'isa hezek. Is it possible in that question? These are very subtle questions. There's all sorts of, you know, logically there are possible, you know, perspectives. Is it reasonable to say that in this question there's a difference between bor, you know, and the others, or esh, you know, and the others, or maybe even within the shores, you know, themselves? But still, you might say there's some din of bilum even in bor. We still say asana kosov kilo b'shuso. Question is what we mean by that. Right. So the factor of bilus and whether it integrates, you know, into ma'isa hezek, or it's just about shmira, or it's a din in its own right, just about, you know, achrayas, responsibility, the bank account, that becomes a critical issue. To what extent does the prominence of the, let's say, niske mamon, of the mazik itself's role, to what extent is that a factor in these dinim? Meaning, you know, if the shor, you know, is kind of, you know, doesn't have any personality and it's just a force out there, and especially if it's just, you know, a force that you control or you're supposed to control. So that's one way to look at nizik, and it makes it easier to say, you know, not only is the bilim responsible, but maybe, you know, by virtue of the fact that he's shalo, you know, he's even mitzurif to the ma'isa hezek. He didn't do the ma'isa hezek, but he's mitzurif to the ma'isa hezek. I'm not talking about esh. Eshem Mishum Chitzav, I'm not talking about Tzir Sabar, I'm talking about, say, the shor. Right? But you also have the paradigm of Katan, right, and Eved, right, where the acts of the Katan and Eved are not, you know, bank accountable, you know, to the Bailim, apparently. Right? And one of the reasons for that is because they are too independent, even though they're not competent or they're not legally, they don't have legal stature in the world of Nezikin, therefore they don't pay themselves. Right? Again, that's a Dindarabanan or that's a Dindaraisa, so we'll talk about it. The Mishnah in Yadayim that's quoted on Gimel Amud Aleph, and that we already talked about a little bit, because the Rambam, remember, the Rambam, you know, put it in Hilchos the Geneva Parakalaf Alachates. Reb Chaim noticed it, and others noticed it, and even though it belongs to the world of Nezikin. So we talked about it a little bit already. But the point is, let's say the shor, you can't say this about the bor, and you can't say this about the esh, right? And again, maybe this is a distinction between them. Because the bor and the esh, you know, I don't want to disappoint anybody, but they're, you know, they're not, you know, independent living entities, right? Eba ruachai, I mean, the mission is saying, so we know, right? And the bor is not holech, you know, a mazik, you know, and it's also not ruachai, by the way. So, but the shor is. So to what extent can the shor's personality and involvement, you know, in all of this ever be at a level, you know, where it starts to approximate you know, katan and ebed. Now again, on the lahaknito side of it, namely, if you're really worried about, you know, like, you know, the policy aspects of this, you know, drabanan for sure, but even doraisa. Let's say the problem with katan and ebed is not so much that they're independent as much as it is that since they're independent, it's a disaster. Like lo matzinu yadenu v'raglenu, you know, just like everybody, you know, accosting, you know, people on the street and forcing them to marry them, that kind of a policy consideration. So, you know, if you have a disgruntled Eved or rebellious, you know, less than a ben sor rebora, but less, you know, rebellious little child or a mischievous little child, right? And it's a disaster, you know, for the owner and for the parent. So there's a halachic policy decision, you know, that, or what we really mean in the Braisa, you know, even Daraisa, is that that possibility, right, is an indicator. It reflects the fact that basically the entity that we're dealing with here doesn't just integrate into the Bailin. It's not considered an extension of the Bailin. It's considered somewhat independent in the Maisa Hezek. Okay, maybe it doesn't have a bank account, but that doesn't mean my bank account doesn't cover, you know, the actions of people, you know, who are too independent and who I can't control. They're not. My bank account covers for my property. It doesn't count. It doesn't cover for, you know, gavras, you know, independent personalities, right? And certainly my sehezek tziruf, you know, so on and so forth. Oh. But let's say you have an animal. You know, not talking about him being, you know, intellectually impressive, precocious, you know, Bessie or Dolly, but I'm talking about, independent, more independent, right? Or the kind of activity that we're talking about, you know, is a more independent, you know, kind of activity. So can there be like a spillover from, assuming it's Doraisa, from Eved v'Katan, you know, to the animal, in which case, you know, both from a bank account point of view, you know, from a tziruf to the hezek point of view, either by virtue of the bailus or by virtue of choser shmira, you know, you don't say that in this kind of animal or this kind of activity of this kind of animal. So now Bessie or Dolly, you know, are a katan and an eved, I don't mean literally, but like they're on their own. You know, that's not part of my... They're not acting as property. They're acting as, you know, independent agents. Okay. So, again, all of this is pretty subtle. But is it then the role of Bailus, the role of Shmira, the role of the Maisa Hezek, how you look at the Maisa Hezek, could be different, you know, for Karen, Kabanos al Hazek, right? For Shane, for Regel. What about the relationship of Shane and Regel to each other? Shane and Regel are the most, you know, again, all these things are so fascinating, right? Shane and Regel are the most similar to each other, clearly. And then we'll see it even for the Shakla Tari of the Gemara. We'll see it in Minyan Mitzvos. We'll see it in all these things. You know, but there still are some small differences, not in the Hilchoseyan, but certainly in the description of the Mechayev of the Nezek. Right, so is that just descriptive, and then everything else, you know, integrates, or there's still, you know, a different subtle, you know, emphasis between. I say Karen Tam and Muad, Karen Muad, you know, is belongs to the world of Karen more, or to the world of Shane Varegel more. That's an interesting question, right? And the difference between Tam and you know, again, in both directions, you know. Karen Tam, Muad, Shane Varego. Like, where do they stand? We know there are differences in the Hilchoseim, there are different Rosh Hasharabim, right? Other things, you know, maybe, you know, Adam, you know, things like that. But how does it really work out? Right? Where does Karen Muad go? So, even the whole process of Muad, it's more of a technicality, it's more, you know, a Ptur, Shmira, Or it's about, again, looking at the Maisa Hezek differently, looking at the Bilus role differently, etc. So what's very, as I say, challenging about it is that the factors that we can identify, right, Bilus, Shmira, Maisa Hezek, connection to the Maisa Hezek, etc., probably apply, I mean, they are applied in most cases to all of the mazikin, accurately or inaccurately, again, because the bilus certainly is a question. However, that doesn't mean necessarily, considering that you could look at bilus, you could look at shmira, you could look at, you know, the question of how you look at this maisa hezek differently, right? And they're not mutually exclusive, they definitely overlap. It doesn't mean that they play the same role, that they carry the same weight in each of these. Now, again, I'm not looking for trouble. I never am. I'm a pretty simple guy. You know what I mean? If it's black and white, I'll embrace it. But just the Shaktavataryas themselves in the Gemara, the Habaminas, are not black and white. They are. So if you take a step back and, again, you look at the bigger picture, instead of saying, oh, we're, you know, weighing this din here and that nafkamina there, of course that's what we're doing. But in a bigger way, what are the implications of these and how do they affect our bigger perspective on these questions? Oh. So the things to look at are, in addition to these factors, you have to look at the psukim. I'm just sketching out the bigger picture of what needs to be done, and then, you know, we're going to do this piecemeal, build it up as we're going. But these are the questions for the year, basically. No more questions for the rest of the year. You have to look at the psukim. At least the chatchila, you might decide it doesn't get you anywhere. The order that the Torah presents a different mazikim. Like, when do they emphasize what, you know? Like, how do they formulate the role of shmira? When do they say v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav? In which avos? Right? And you know, how is the nezek described? What are the emphases and the orders of the psukim? What are the, even in the Mishnah of the Gemara, right? The Gemara, the Mishnah here has Arba Avos Hazik and Ashar Boramava Vehever. Rashi already jumps in right away. It's Lefi, you know, the Seder Akra. That depends on how you understand what the right psukim are also. We already talked about that, right? So then it begs the question, why does the Seder Akra that way? Could be something completely innocuous answer, you know, like about people's intuitions, you know, etc. Or could be there's a hierarchy, maybe there's, you know, different mechayvim. You have to look for that. So the order in the Mishnah, the language of the Gemara and the Rishonim, part of which we're going to just identify as we go forward, and then we'll see. Minyan and mitzvos are the simple thing that we already talked about, right? If you do count the Avos Hazikin, how many do you count? Right, do you count Arba Mazik separately? Where do you put it? We talked about the Rambam already in Arba Mazik. Right, let's say Shein V'Regel. Are they separate in Minyan HaMitzvos or not? And Keren Mua, does it belong with Keren Tam or does it go with Shein V'Regel? And again, the order. You know, Born Eish. I mentioned that the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, you know, talks about, when he wants to give the example of Niske Mamon, talks about Bor Ve'esh. In the Mishnah already, the impression we get is that Bor Ve'esh are the most mechudash. That's not a stira. In the end of the Chiddush, the question is that most mechudash often reflects a Havamina. You know, this is what we might have thought. And now that we know that it's expansive and includes everything, could it be the ones that are seemingly or would have been, you know, off the list redefine the whole list? And in Eish and Bor, what I mean by that, we'll take Bor, for example, is what we've talked about already, which is on the one hand, Bor is the most mechudash if you're looking at Avos Hazikin from the perspective of Maisa Hezek. But if you're looking at Maisa, but the problem with looking at Niske Mamon from the perspective of the Maisa Hezek is that it's highly questionable how you get the Bailim involved. Bessie did it, Dolly did it. Right? You know, their owner, Bob and Bill, right, he didn't do it. He's a very, you know, peaceful guy, right? It's not his fault that he has violent animals. But if you talk about the boar, Maisa Hezek-wise, it's, you know, it's very challenging. It's stationary. The other guy walked into it. All the things that the Rajba says, But if the mechayev is yitziras atakala or kilkul shusarabim, guess what? Bob and Bill did that, right? So in a way, if you want to look at Avos and Zikin as Maisa Hezek, like if you're looking at it from the perspective of Adam Amazik, you know, expanded, so then Bor is your biggest Kiddush by far. But if you want to look at all of because of Bor, if you want to look at maybe the other Avos and Zikin that way too, namely you're harboring this animal, normally that's a good thing, you know. But if he's you know attacking people, so you're harboring Amazik. Right? And on the contrary, as I say, the involvement of the Bailiv is greater in one respect, you know, in Bor, if it's Yitzira Satakala, than it is in the other. Eish, if you saw Eish from Shemchitza. It doesn't have Ruach Chaim, so if you're looking at it as a, you know, your property is doing as Nizke Mamon, you know, then, you know, it's weaker or better. That's the question. It's Koach Acher Murabo Akula or Achumra. We already had the, you know, Tosas on Beis Amid Aleph. We're going to have it again and again. All these things are factors. Are they Kulas or Chumras? Depends on your point of view. From a Maisa Hezek point of view, from a Bailus point of view, from a independence of the Mazik from the Bailin point of view, right? From the Tziruf to the Hezek point of view, from a Shmira point of view, not such easy questions. Right? So on the one hand, Eishem Shumchitzo, as extension of Adam HaMazik, is a no-brainer. You know, as for, you know, a Niske Mamon, as I say, Ein Baruach Chaim, so, you know, that's a whole different story. So these are the things that we need to, so Minyan of Mitzvos is going to be important, a little bit. The question of hybrids, which were again, I just want to introduce it through the Lashonos of the Gemara and some of the to identify first, but Toldosayim ki yotza behem, it's part of the story, and the Rif, you know, and especially the discussion of Babel, especially the Gemara's on Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, what's the Tzad HaShaveh for in the end of the day? Right? So if you have combinations of the Nezikin, now again, if you take the view that the chiddush of Avos HaZikin is that it's all one blob, it's all one homogenized, you know, with compensations. Right? You still have a question about hybrids, but it becomes a much more technical question. Right? You know, there's not going to be this struggle, till the death, if you will. I should say death as a case. You don't have this, like, titanic struggle to try to figure out, you know, the single best or the only, more accurate, I'll explain what I mean by that later, classification. Because who cares? The inter, you know, relationship of the Avos HaZikim is pretty fluid also. Bor isn't that different than Shein V'Regel. So if you have a hybrid, a little bit of care, a little bit of, it sounds like Tevye, right? Like a little bit of Eish and a little bit of Bor, right? Then, the Milchiger, yeah. A little bit of Asian, a little bit of Bor. Who told me that they know Yiddish the other day? Oh, yeah. So you're our Yiddish person, right? Okay, good. 100%. So if you have a little Asian, a little bit of Bor, the Chiddush of take the first case, it's easier in the Gemara. What's the first case? Alex? And Bob, did you see it? Did you get to Bob?
Yeah.
What's the first case of the Tzad HaShaveh? That's the easiest one. A little Eish and a little Bor. What's that? Avodah Sakinah Maso, that you put on the Rosh Hagag, and it's Nofel Baruch Metsuya, and then it damages somebody after it's Nach. Right, so you have the Yetzira Sabor is Baruch Metsuya. I'm sorry, is Koch Acher Murabo, is through Eish. Right, but the Nezek is classic Bor, as opposed to the other cases. What are the other cases? Well, we'll talk about all of them. Bor is Galgel. Then you have what? Birshus, let's say Potkin, whatever that, Bibalseim, or whatever it is. Right? You know, because oh my goodness, like the Yeah. The, you know, like the, you have to call the DEP or whatever they're called, you know, the climate people, you know, the pollution of the streets, right? And what's the fourth one?
Kosa Ilang Shinafu.
You know, it was Ein Tchilaso Bisa, right? So you have those four cases in the Gemara. The first one's the easiest one in a way. So you have a little bit of Koach Acher Murabo, which creates a bowl, right? So, no. Koach Acher Murabo, you know, has been shown to be, notwithstanding what you might have thought, is considered to be, let's say, a mice of Shaladam. Right? So then, okay, now we know. Now we have a bar. Okay? Either way, the more you think, if that's what the maskana is, it's not fully mice of Shaladam, but then, two chidushim? Which chidush is dominant? Can you operate with two chidushim? All I'm saying is, hybrids, the more you homogenize, the easier it is to deal with it. You still might have some questions, you know, in terms of Hilchos Seir. I assume everybody saw the 2 days in the Rosh, and we're going to discuss some more. But the more you think we're dealing with disparate categories, disparate mechaibim, or even if it's the same factors, but the role that they play is subtly but importantly different, so then the ability to combine is not so simple because they could, you know, they could neutralize each other. Maybe what's unique about Bor is wiped out, you know, by the combination of Aish. In these cases, probably not, but I'm saying in general. And at minimum, you're going to create a new reality here because you're dealing with very different, you know, when you introduce, it's like, you know, think about it in terms of, you know, Ovis and Toldos, genetics, you know. The more, you know, if you inbreed, which is probably not a healthy thing, but if you inbreed, you get, and that's one of the reasons, you get, it turns out there are some biology pre-med people this year. Yeah. So if you inbred, you get what? People with who are closer to each other. Right? If you combine people with, you know, diversity to begin with, then you increase your diversity. Correct? So if you talk about hybrids, if the hybrids are, now this means that, right, your perspective on the relationship between the avos should in theory dictate not only your understanding of toldos ki yotze bahem, but your understanding of hybrids, right? It also means that in theory, right, if that's a model, not every hybrid is going to be the same. Maybe the hybrid of Shane Varegel, if there is such a thing, you know, is different than the hybrid of Bor and Karen, if there is such a thing. Right? So all these questions are, I'll give you another example. Do you say, this is what we're going to be doing, Mida X Nishma Lawai. Right? In other words, we know certain dinim about Shein V'Regel, you know, because the Torah mentions it there, or we have Limudim that teach us these dinim there. You know, do we assume that the same is true for Eish, or for Bor, or for Karen Tav? Should we assume that? Or should our default be, you know, Ein L'chabo L'chidusha? Partly it depends what we're talking about, what the application is. But in addition to that, it also depends on, you know, the assumption of how different they are. The more they're subtly different, the more our default would be, you know, forget about the tochen of it, of course that's a factor. Our assumption would be, you know, that they're in the chobal chidusho or b'me atzad, right? So, for example, The dinim of Bailus, some of the Peturei Bailus, you know, appear based on the Pesukim in the Torah in one Av and not in another Av, let's say. Like a Hekdesh or Hefker or Akum, right? Bailus of those three, is a Petur often in Nezikin, but it doesn't say that in all the... Should we assume that applies across the board, even though it doesn't say it in every one of them? Maybe that's just part of the Tzad HaShava if there are two dinim. But the more you think of these as one, the answer is default yes, until there's some reason no. And the more you think of them as being diverse to begin with, we should be skeptical about that. I'll give you another example. Shutfis benezek, something we'll talk about. Shutfis benezek. Let's say you have more than one contributor. Now, that scenario can take place, right? That scenario can take place inside one av, or it can take place across avos, right? In other words, and that's not a hybrid. Well, it's a different kind of a hybrid. In other words, two people, shutfin bebor, we touched on the Gemara a little bit before. Let's say you have shutfin be'esh, or shutfin who own the animal, right? That's one kind of question. Now, let's say you have, you know, a combined nezek, you know, from bor and shor. Well, those are both cases of shutfim in this case, mamon. Should you assume, or let me say it even more starkly, let's say I have evidence about shutfis be'esh, right? Should I assume that the huadin, you know, about shutfis bebor, or shutfis be'shor? Should I assume that? That's that. If that's even the prior question, then the next question is: and what if you have a shutfus based on, you know, two different avos? And then the question after that is: should I assume that the shutfus between different avos are all the same, or does that depend on which avos? Right. Those are four different questions. Right. Shutfus in an av. Shutfus in different avos, shutfus between avos, and different shutfus between different avos. What do we? Those are all objectively open questions, right? So this is really, you know, the kind of things that we're, you know, Lu Yitzuya, we could do everything in one shot, I guess. You know, this is what we would do. But the reality is that, you know, the only way to build up databases and information is to go, you know, daf al daf and line by line and, you know, rishon by rishon. So we're going to try to do both. But this is what I wanted just to make clear. This is the big question. Okay? So having said that, so late. So let's see what we have, you know, so far. So what I want to do is just you know, identify in these first, you know, till Vav Amidbeis, some of the lines that we're, you know, very intrigued by and where, you know, we should have our antennae, you know, very much, you know, in the issue. And then to try to, you know, break it down, see what the, well, you know, what the information is. So we start off with, you know, some smaller things and bigger things. As I say, Nezikin versus Mazikin, the hain, the order in the Mishnah, right? As a, you know, based on the Psukim, begs the question of the Psukim, right? The beginning of the Mishnah, which is the statement that you need all four, right? Again, technically, and once you have all four, it homogenizes, right? Or they remain different. The identification of Ruach Chaim is a factor, and the identification of Dark and Lahazik is a factor. Are they Kula factors or Chumra factors? Well, Dark and Lahazik seems to be a Chumra factor, right? Ruach Chaim is not as clear. Okay. And then you have the conclusion of the Mishnah, which is important for two reasons. Number one, we just identified these four. We might now have the impression that they're Mechaivim and they're distinctive. And then the Mishnah is like throws a wrench into it all and says, Atzad HaShavah Shabbat. So there are two dinim, or the first one is Ikar, or the second one is Ikar. Right. And it identifies also some of the factors. Darkon Lahazik, okay? So Urche Bekach Darkon, Shmirasa Nalecha, right? We don't know what role they play and whether they're the same or not, like we just discussed. Ukashehizik chav hamazik. Who's the mazik, by the way? L'shalim tashlumei nezek, mimei tava aretz. The mazik means the bailim? Well, I mean, the bailim is the one who pays. But just even a simple thing like that in the Mishnah, what does the word mazik refer to? If the mazik refers to bailim, so if it's a melitza b'alma because he's the payer, great. Are we also saying that by virtue of his bailus, by virtue of his shmira, by virtue of some combination, and darko lahazik, some combination thereof, he's the mazik? And Bessie and Dolly and all those people are just, you know, the tool of his nezek? Or he's at least mitzuruf to the maisa hezek? Or is that what we're saying? Or we're talking about the animals, the mazik, and he's the bank account? Also, what's intriguing in the Mishnah is the insertion of b'meit tava aretz. Is that just a totally different halacha having to do with the kiyum atashlumin? Or does the meit tava aretz kiyum atashlumin itself reflect something about the nature of this fee of nezek? Maybe the reason that you pay meit tava aretz, or the fact that you pay meit tava aretz, signifies a certain kind. Because remember, we're also interested, this goes back to our hakdama, that we're talking about tashlumei onshin, tashlumei iser, or quid pro quo. Are we talking about compensation, restoration? Does any of that have to do with iddis, with meita? Okay, that's the Mishnah. Then the Gemara starts with the paradigms of Shabbos and Taros, and the question of kiyotze bahen. And as I say, if you don't want to look at it narrowly, so this is like something to, you know, to underline, to underscore. Namely, we really want to know, you know, about what we're really asking is, you know, again, a point to, if we assume that's the way Belville read Rashi, we'll call it, right? And you can certainly understand how, though some of you have disagreed, that's totally fine. But that's, again, extreme way, but an important way. And that is, wow, there's a Havam. Again, we know that we paskin in the end of the day that told us Sayyid Barkiyotz of Hennan and Ezekiel. Okay, we're interested in the process. We're interested in the Havamim. Will you freeze frame that Havamim, you know, what does it mean? So, and we already discussed the implications, if you read Rashi in the extreme, that, wow, the whole Ezekiel and Mechudash, because you have the Mechaibim, but the Tsuros are the only thing that are, what, because they're the most Urke, so it's kind of like a Knas Doraisa, even though there really shouldn't be Chayiv, because it's too Grumma-esque. Right? If that's what Rashi's about, okay, Halacha doesn't stay, but it's an, you know, there could be echoes of it, as we know. Other Ein L'chabal L'chidushos are looking at this as being Mechudash matters a lot. On the other hand, if you don't say what Rashi says, so then, like, what is this all about? What is the question of Kiyotze Bahen? And that's what, you know, the Rav Elbel is dealing with. That's what the Rif and the Rambam are dealing with, and that's what Rav Elbel's dealing with. So, I don't think I have time to do them at the moment, but let's just say very quickly, what does the Rif say? Are you?
Whether the
dinim
of five,
whether the unique dinim, but does he say that?
Well, he says specifically common who I understand it's all about
Purim. Exactly. So what's fascinating is, if you look, and we'll talk about the language next time on Sunday, if you look at the Rif, right, and then the Rosh kind of, you know, expands on the Rif a little bit, right? The Rosh says, after all, Misvara. There's no reason to differentiate between the Rush when he quotes the Rif. Avos and Toldos, the Mechaivim are the same, right? So that's why the Rif is zeroing in on the fact, you know, that Muad and Tam are different in Karen. Okay, so the way Velvel took it was, that's a Hechatimtzi, exactly what you just said. But really the question is, what the Gemara identifies as Hilchoseim, right? Later on, what is it on Daf Dalet Omid Beis, right? The special dinim of each category. The question is, do they apply to the Toldos or not? That's the question. You might have said that what the Rif is saying is even less or more than that. Maybe that the Rif is asking is something very specific. And that is, there's a notion of Tam and Muad in Karen. And we're curious to know whether that distinction you know, applies to the Toldos of Karen, right? And whether or not it applies, because you can't only say that. The problem with the riff is, you know, if you want to take it more literally, is when it comes to Karen, it's a very legitimate Havamina. Right? Although, even then, it's a little bit mechudash, because once you think that Tam and Muad matter in the classic case of Karen, so why would, you know, Nagifa or Be'ita, other aggressive forms of behavior, necessarily be different? So kind of what you're really asking is, you know, whether or not the distinction between Tam and Muad is mechudash, right, or is just, you know, logical given the nature of Karen, whatever that is, Kavanos al-Hazik, Mishuna, you know, some combination thereof, right? Even then, you know, no matter what you say for the riff, right, the question is, if you limit it, even if you don't limit it, the application, dafka to Tam Muad, right, calls into question whether Tam and Muad is a compelling logical distinction or not. That Rav Elbel doesn't bring out. Rav Elbel just says, you know, the riff is, you know, he doesn't say this, but he assumes this, that it is an example. What he's really saying is, do the Hilchos Seyan apply to the Tolda? Or, let's take Rav Elbel for a second, then I'll get back to the riff. Or?
Just chayav for everything. You just chayav for everything.
You chayav for everything.
You didn't just.
Was it generic?
The Tzad HaShav HaShabahem. So later, Velvel understands the question of Kiyotzebahem or Lav Kiyotzebahem, right? There's a generic Iser Ma. Exactly what we're talking about. What have we been talking about? And it's, do you read the Mishnah that there are Arba Avos Hazikin, and therefore the Toldos are Kiyotzebahem? Or is the Arba Avos Hazikin, you know, very limited, and two elements. Number one, there is a klali din of mazik, and B, it's not just, you know, I could say there's a klali din of mazik, right? Let me say it this way. Number one, you could deny that there's a klali din of mazik, right? You could say that the Torah is mechadesh four categories, and you need to fit in one or the other. Like, what do you do when you have a little bit of complexity? Like, you have, you know, hybrids in multiple characteristics that don't fit in perfectly? Okay, that's a question, right? So, and there are two options, and this is where the rush comes in. One is, you know, you have to find a single, you have to, you know, find the dominant category, but there are only four, right? Or, you know, the tchunot, let's say, the characteristics, there's no categories. There are only characteristics. And then you have to figure out, you know, you can have hybrid categories. Shorbor. Eshrego. Right? Now, again, when you have a hybrid category, does it mean, you know, everything's l'kula or everything's l'chumra? Or do you take this, it depends how the hybrid is. We're going to discuss all this on Sunday. The different... again, Rav Elbel kind of speaks very generally. Okay, so number one, it's not obvious that there ever exists a klali notion of mazik. Number two, even if it does, should the assumption be that that is the default and that the tsuros of specific mazikim are the only things that are koveya hilchoseyam? To say that, you need to be saying that hilchoseyam, right, are very much giluye milsa. They're chidushim. I guess the rationale would be that these are, you know, avtipusim. They have like a certain symbol. Maybe they're more urche, you know. Therefore, the Torah, you know, added bells and whistles. If you say that kiyotzebehem alav kiyotzebehem means, you know, either you have the halachos or you have None of them. No Talmud. No Caleb. Right? Rosh Hashanah, I guess, depends whether you think that, you know, is really, you know, a Svara or a Gzeres HaKasuv, which we'll get to, the Rosh of the Rif. Right? That's a lot. Again, Talmud all... Truth is, you can make a case for Talmud and Caleb. We're going to try when we get there. But it's easier. The assumption, you know, default is that Talmud and Caleb are very Bechudash. Even if you want to explain them, they're Bechudash. Okay. Shusarabim, as we know, that's much more open to question. Okay. But all I'm saying is that if you take the Habamina, Lav Ki Yotze Bahen, and you we've dealt with Rashi, right? In a way, you're kind of bringing back 30% of Rashi. Right? The Chiddush of Rashi is that you're going to be potter, assuming that's what Rashi means, the extreme way of reading Rashi. Here, you're not going to be potter. That's impossible. Because you're a mazik. Quid pro quo. You have to pay. Right? But what you are assuming, like Rashi, is that a lot of the details of the Avos Nezikin are chidushim. And that they have to do with the stature of the tzura, either as a gzeres hakasuv or some other way of saying it, and nothing more. And therefore, the default is that if you're not that case, that you're homogenized, and then you're left with a very interesting kind of structure. Then there's this massive, you know, generic mazik, right? And then there are, like, you know, paradigm cases in the Torah, which are more detailed. Again, different machayvim, hard to say if it only is so limited. Very hard. More likely the cases themselves and the tsura themselves. Now, if you paskin lav kiyotze bahen, kiyotze bahen, which we do, with the exception of the tsuros, which is a separate topic, right? So how much of that have you rejected? Are you saying now there is no generic at all? And the Tzad HaShava of the Mishnah comes to teach you some other thing, hybrid cases, and so on. And then what are you going to do with hybrid cases? That's kind of where Revelvel gets to. Or, no, there still remains a Tzad HaShava. Just that, the Hilchoseim, you know, either are not just Mechudash, or even if they are, right, the Toldos, unlike hybrids, you know, are part of that Chiddush. So it comes under the rubric and under the category. Now the Rif, if he meant what Revelvel and the Rambam, if they meant what Revelvel meant, then great, you know, in both directions. It's fascinating that they only talk about Tam and Muad. On the one hand, you can't say that the Gemara's question told the same Kiyotzim, Lav Kiyotzim is only Karen. Right, because the Gemara goes through this whole Shaka Vitaria to try to figure out, you know, on each of the Avos, Adam Amazik, Bor, Shor, right, Shane, Regel, Karen, Kiyotzim, Balav Kiyotzim. Right, if not for the Gemara, you could have said that the Gemara's question Kiyotzim is only in Karen, and it's a very limited question, and even that is a fascinating question. Right, again, it's interesting, Revelvel doesn't emphasize the old Tam and Muad think. I think he's much more comfortable, you know, with the generic, you know, a fallback position, dafka in a case, you know, where the details are mechudash, and it's not so clear that Tam and Muad is completely mechudash, right? But if you want to zero in and suggest that the Rif and the Rambam, you know, zeroed in on that case for a reason, and not just as an example, and they could have said the same thing about Talmud and Kalim and so on and so forth, or maybe even Tam and Muad, and Kol Shekain, Talmud and Kalim, and so on. So then what you have to say is something else, and that is that according to the Rif and the Rambam, what the Gemara was trying to figure out was, do the Toldos of Karen have a din of Tam? I'm sorry, also have a din of Muad? Let me say it that way. And do the toldos of Shane and Regel and Aish and Bor and Adam maybe also have a din of Tam? And it's only Karen that doesn't. But it's not only Karen that does. Sorry. I'm saying it backwards. Yeah. Arya. Yeah, Arya.
Dinner of Elbows perish.
Oh, that's right. You said Arya. What's that?
Dinner of Elbows perish. Aren't we forced to say Lamaskana Gumar isn't saying that there's a specific Dinamar condition just based on the method that Gumar uses to prove Kyotsubahan? Meaning it just says Maze Yeshbo Rasmahaze Shmasalata. They were all really fiducians, and that's just not a convincing spot.
No, I'm saying the according. Oh, you mean it's like the talking at each other? It's not really proving anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's just you're almost forced to say that it must be that whatever the specific denim are, they must be a function of the factors that the Gemara brings up. It must be that. I don't know.
I mean, that's what the Gemara is saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
This must be a function of Kavanas Malhazik for whatever reason, and therefore applies to every single case of Kavanas
Malhazik. You're saying like this. If, I mean, the Havamina that Lav Kiyotza Bahen is based on the assumption that these are just Gzeres HaKasos. Correct?
Well, I don't know the Havamina. I mean, whoever you want, but Lamaskana
are... Well, I mean, why would the Tolda of Shane, let's say, not be Pata Brishus around? Why would the Tolda of Karen not be a Tom? Why would the Tolda of...
Yeah, I guess.
Right? Now the Maskana, you're saying, but has to be that... I'm saying, Misvara, you can now say, well, what is the Maskana, though? The Maskana is, yeah, they are Xeris Akasos, but you still go by the category. Why can't you still say that? And you're saying, no, the reason you go by the category is got to... Because otherwise they're talking at each other. Huh? It could be a different way of saying what Ein Lecha Bo L'Chidush. Ein Lecha L'Chidusha means the case, or Ein Lecha L'Chidusha means the category.
Yeah.
The reason, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think you're right in Rav Elvel. I'll tell you why also. Because then he goes on to say, to connect it to the Rush, which is the case of hybrids. Now the hybrids are, once we've solved the problem of Toldoseim, Kiyotza Bahem. Now the way the piece goes is, we'll look inside next time, is basically the suffix is Toldoseim Kiyotzabam or Lav Kiyotzabam. The question is, if you don't interpret in the extreme Rashi way, right? So on what basis are they going to be Chayiv if they're not Kiyotzabam? Right? And it can't be that they're Patur. The answer is the generic din of Mazik. Correct? And then the Gemara's solution is No. With the exception of Tsuros, which is a different thing entirely, right? They're Kiyotze Bahem. But then what he's saying is that the debate of the Rishonim, which we still have to get to, which is, what happens when you have, and he's assuming that the debate in the Rishonim has nothing to do, I think this is a very big assumption, challengeable one, has nothing to do with the specific dynamic of the hybrid in question. Right? The debate in the Rishonim is a hybrid, an objective hybrid question. Namely, if you are dealing with a case, right, which has to invoke more than one of, you know, what happens then to the Hilchosei? So the answer is, well, I guess it a little bit depends on a bunch of things, you know, but part of it depends on an echo from the original Havamina. I mean, when we thought, you know, Lav Kiyotze Bahen, right? Namely, that there's a generic idea, you know, so maybe that generic idea expresses itself in hybrids, too. That's even if it isn't true that a tolda of an Av, you know, will be generic, but a hybrid could be generic. There could be three possibilities for a hybrid. One is that it's generic. The other is that it needs to be forced into one of the existing categories, right? And then it's going to be whatever is dominant, however you define dominant. Or it's going to a hybrid case is going to be a hybrid of, right? Either Lekula or Lechumra or both or one or the other. But that some of those views presuppose, you know, that, again, the Mechaivim, you know, don't necessarily engender the Hilchoseyan, meaning that they're Chidushin. So I hear your point. I'm just telling you, you're saying, oh, then what's the point of the Gemara when the Gemara is saying... So my alternative is to say what the Gemara is saying is, you know, you can say Ein Lecha Ba'al Chidusho, but why should you assume that the Ein Lecha Ba'al Chidusho is connected to the case? Maybe Ein Lecha Ba'al Chidusho is connected to the category. Namely, if it's, Shchiach, or if it's Hana, right, or if it's Kavanas Alahazik, or if it's Tchilas Asiyas Alenezek, or if it's Koach Acher Me'urabo, not just if it's Eish, or Bor, or Shor, etc., that's what's Koveya, the Gzeres HaKasav Hilchosei. That would be how you'd read it.
I guess I'm conflating correlation with causation. Because
yes.
What Rav Chaim essentially says is that you could have the special dina be functions of what he thinks of Gzeres HaKasavs without
them being limited to the case.
Yeah, without the case.
Where do you draw the line in Gzeres HaKasav?
Yeah.
Do you draw the line in the case, or do you draw a line in the category? That's what we're really... Okay, sorry we didn't get very far, but I want to. So this is the question of Kiyotze Lav Kiyotze. Yeah,
it's very clear from the Mishnah Rav that the question of Kiyotze Lav Kiyotze is not a question of whether there's a general Mechayev in a Tikkun or not. He's very clear that even if it's Kiyotze, there's still a general Mechayev, and the whole question is whether the Toldos take on the shame of or not. But meaning there's still a general Mechayev. We're definitely being Mechayev. The whole question of the Gemara is whether we're going to apply the shame.
No. What he means by that, again, we'll read it the next time, but what he's saying is there's not on the table is not the question whether you're chayiv or not. Because at minimum, there's always the safety net in terms of chiyuv, right, of a generic mazik.
But it doesn't seem like he thinks that's just the minimum. It seems like he thinks that's actually what is chayiv in every case.
Meaning the chiyuv isn't on the table because you have that. Now the question is, do you have more than that?
Do you also have the pratim? Do you just have the machayev?
Right.
Every case in the Tikkun has
okay.
Same
right.
So the shemav is not a machayev question.
The shemav isn't a machayev question or a potter question. The question on the table is not, are you going to be chayev or potter? That... you don't need Eish or Bor, or you don't need to Kiyotzebo for that, because there is, a din of Hatzara Shava Shabahen. The question is it Midin Tzara Shava Shabahen, in which case all those other things don't apply, or is it also a true, child of its parent, namely it belongs in that category, right?
I mean, I guess, but that's just
okay, well, look at. I've got to run because they're trying to catch me. But okay, so let's. That sounded a little different than I guess all this conspiracy talk, Mazik and
all the blood on the sword.
But to be continued. So what I want to do is I want to talk more about Kiyotze Behen, what it means for the rib, for a Belleville, and then I want to go. I say through the key lines in the Gemara. Just to identify them first, and as we just have started, and what the issues are, and then to zero in on the actual pratim, but try to get if you can to the Shach Vatarya, and then to start working on that.